I appreciate Brother Mass giving me an invitation to come and be a part of Lily's graduation tonight. Honored to be here. They've taken good care of us. They put us up at a motel last night, and they put us up at their house this afternoon, and they put up with us being here. So I appreciate all that. He even gave me a new tie. Isn't that nice?
I think his name's on the back.
You got that one. Good, Josh. Why don't you turn in your Bibles, please, if you have it. You can turn to Luke 2, verse 52. And we're going to talk about the word balance tonight. I didn't hear much about your future goals, Lily, you know, where you're going, what you're going to be doing or anything like that. But let me put out the word balance as a goal for you tonight and as a goal for all of us. And to be honest with you, I think she showed a lot of balance tonight. It's a pretty good illustration of my message. Where someone's graduating, you know, she's obviously got the academics down, and she's graduating from high school, and she did well in high school, and she could do the music. We heard her sing. We saw her play the violin, and so it seems like, you know, we saw these pictures and heard stories about her family and about church ministries that she's been involved in. Do you play ice hockey, too? No ice hockey. Okay, all right, that's all right. I don't have any sons left to marry off anyway, but. And I'm going to guess if I offered you the pulpit tonight, you could probably preach your own graduation address, okay? It just seems like she's got a good direction already with this thing of balance in her life. She's not one-dimensional. And so that's a pretty good object lesson for the whole direction I wanted to go with this tonight. Strangely enough, I'll open this with an illustration about my car. I bought new tires a couple of years ago. And they were the 60,000-mile tires, okay? Those are pretty good tires. Now, I've never been able to buy four tires at one time before, okay? Raising six kids and being in ministry for 40 years, you know, and full-time, part-time, on and off. We've just, you know how it is. You buy one tire at a time, and usually a used one. And I don't know, you know, it's probably more economical to just go ahead and buy the four new ones, right? But that's the way we did it because we never had enough scratch to go ahead and buy four tires at once. Do you drive? You do. Okay, you have your own car? I had a 65 Ford Mustang when I was your age. Listen to these guys, the older guys. They're drooling back there. But back when I had it, let's say I'm 61 years old, think about it. It was just a used car back then. It wasn't a classic antique. I paid $300 for it. It had 100,000 miles on it, and I drove it a year and a half, and I sold it. It had 125,000 miles on it, and I think I sold it for $500. And wouldn't you like to have, I saw a couple of them on the way here. It seems like there's a lot of classic antique Mustangs out here in Iowa, and I was the one drooling, man. I would love to have that car back again, you know. I mean, it was nice. It was a lot of fun in high school. But I got a flat tire one time. And I remember I had to change the tire on the side of the road. That's no fun. And well, the tire, it wasn't really flat. It was only flat on one side. Yeah. And the rest of the tire was fine. But I had to change the whole tire. That's just the way it is, even though it was only flat on one side. And that's kind of what this Bible verse is, kind of the direction that it's going here. You know, I went to get a mower blade sharpened last week, and they told me they had to balance a mower blade. I didn't know that. Dumb city slicker, right? You guys all know that. You're supposed to balance it so that it's not all wobbly. It makes your engine work harder. And, you know, balance is a good thing. And in our lives, if we don't have balance, we have to work harder, don't we? And it just makes it harder all the way around. Anyway, those tires I had on the 65 Ford Mustang, there's more traction on a bowling ball than I had on those tires, okay? They were bald, they were down to the, we didn't have steel belted radials, it was just, you know, rubber. And, but it was all the way down, those things were gone. And I'd get a patch or a plug, and I'd nurse it along a little longer, you know. And you do what you gotta do. That was my high school and college car. And boy, I miss it today. 40 years of ministry and 16 years working at a Bible college. I've learned a little bit about what it takes to make it in college, what it takes to make it in life. And this thing of balance is right at the top of the list of things we really need in our lives. A lot of people, Lily, they'll start college, but they don't finish. A lot of people, they'll start in ministry or start in business, and then they don't finish. They're doing something different every 6 months. People will start in a marriage, and then they don't finish. And, you know, it's our society today. It's like job to job, family to family, ministry to ministry. And the lifers who will stay at a place, you know, 40 years, like our preacher, Preacher Gomez, you know, those are becoming few and far between. And thank the Lord for those who are willing to do that. The preachers that you've had, the teachers you've had, the parents you've had, all of your friends, your Sunday school teachers, up to this point, they've put a lot of good stuff in you. And it seems to me like you're getting a handle on this thing of balance. Good goal to strive for. And good goal for everybody here. Did you find Luke 2 yet? I hope I gave you enough time. Verse number 52, simple. It's a simple message tonight. Jesus increased in four things. What were they? Wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man. Four areas where Jesus, now he's a pretty good example. Would you agree? Okay, everybody in this room is going to let folks down at some point as far as a role model is concerned. But Jesus, he had it right. And it says here, you know, we're told in 2 Peter 1:21 that we're to follow in his steps. Okay? That's Jesus, his example. And it says here, Jesus was a young man. How did he grow? He grew in four different areas. All right, the first area, he grew in wisdom. He grew in wisdom. And let me suggest to you, that's mental growth. Okay? That's getting some groceries on the shelf up here. But it's more than that. It's not just knowledge. It's wisdom is applied knowledge. Okay? A lot of people have knowledge, but they don't have this thing of wisdom. And that's where you know how to apply the knowledge you have. It's looking at life through God's viewpoint, through God's glasses, and mental growth. It says Jesus increased in wisdom. There's lots of educated fools out there today that don't know how to apply their knowledge. There's lots of folks, they know their TV guide better than they know their Bible. Do they even make TV guides anymore? I don't even know. And, you know, you just push the guide on the remote, right? You're not even old enough to remember what TV guides are. I feel sorry for you. But a lot of people, they know the sports scores, the sports stats. And you ask them to find a particular book in the Bible, you know, can you show me Hezekiah? And they're at a loss. They can't even find Hezekiah. And if you didn't laugh, that's an indication, okay? But that knowledge, that wisdom, applied knowledge, so important. And going to Bible college, I mean, Brother Mass is probably one of the most knowledgeable people in this room as far as the Bible's concerned. Would you agree? His wife's calling. He's one of the most knowledgeable people in this room as far as the Bible is concerned. And yet, what does he do at Tuesday mornings? Drives 2.5 hours to go learn more about the Bible. You know, my hat's off to him for that. And that's a challenge. That's an example for all of us. We ought to be growing in that area of wisdom. And never feel like you've arrived, you know, because none of us have. And go for it, you know. Try and get more wisdom. Try and get more knowledge up here and learn how to apply it. And that's called wisdom. And God will bless you for it. Jesus, you know, notice it's the first thing. He increased in wisdom. He increased in wisdom. And then the second area Jesus increased in, he increased in stature. And that's physical growth. Jesus was a child. He was a young one. And the Bible just has a few verses about his growing up years. And my friend Jerry Ross wrote a book on the teenage years of Jesus. And, you know, there's some of it's speculation, some of it's history. There's just a very few verses in the Bible that teach us what Jesus was like as a young man. We can guess at it. We know he never sinned. So to use Lily's words, his brothers and sisters probably found him very annoying, okay? Because he never sinned. You know, how'd you like to grow up in that home, right? And your mom's favorite, you know. Yeah. He grew in stature. He grew up. I believe that when Jesus reached adulthood, I believe he was a man's man. He got a job working at a carpenter shop. He's a carpenter. Have you ever met a carpenter that was a sissy? I haven't. They all got, you know, calluses on their hands. They got arms that are developed and A man's man. And Jesus worked as a carpenter. You can't do that work if you're a sissy. You just can't. And he increased in stature. That doesn't mean everybody here, you know, has to, you know, be all buffed out like I obviously am, you know. And but it does mean that the body is important. He mentioned it here. Jesus increased in stature. So that physical development, it's important. We ought to take care of our health. Wouldn't you agree? The Bible tells us our body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's part of the balance, is allowing us to use that temple for good purposes. Is it a good idea to treat the church building with respect?
Yes,
it is, isn't it? And you folks obviously do that. The place looks nice and it's well cared for. And, you know, you don't let the kids, you know, jump up here like, you know, it's a trampoline or something like that. And, I mean, you take care of the place. We ought to treat God's house with respect. But wait a minute, New Testament day and age, where's God's house? Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And just like we ought to take care of God's house as far as a physical building, we ought to take care of God's temple. And that involves eating right, doesn't it? It involves being in good health. It involves taking care of ourselves as best as we can. And I think that's important. I think that's a part of it. That body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and it's a good idea to treat it with respect. The same principle applies. Therefore, avoid the people and avoid the places that will lead to the desecration of God's temple. And everybody here can think of a place and a person right now that when you're around that place or around that person, you tend to do things that harm the temple of the Holy Spirit. You ought to just stay away from those places. You ought to stay away from those people. Why? Because they're not going to build you up spiritually. They're going to tear you down spiritually. Take care of that temple that God has given to you. And if you're saved, he's placed himself within that temple. And that'd be a good idea. Number three, favor with God. Look at it. Verse number 52. He increased in favor with God. And I believe that's the spiritual element. If you're here tonight and you do not yet know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that'd probably be a good place to start, don't you think? I mentioned this morning, it's hard to live the Christian life until you become a Christian. And that's the first thing. You need to have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then it all gets better after that. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So there's two kinds of life God offers you. Number one is eternal life. Number two is the abundant life. Let me ask you a question. When did you become a child of God? Can you tell me when and where it was that you received Jesus Christ as your Savior and you acquired this thing called eternal life? You remember a day? Remember a time and a place? If you can't think of one, you say, well, I'm just doing the best I can, or I got baptized, or and you can name 100 different things. The question is, did you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Because the book says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. Even to them that believe on his name. Aren't you glad it doesn't say behave?
Amen.
It's for the believers, not for the behaviors. Because none of us behave enough to get to heaven.
That's right.
But we can believe enough to get to heaven.
Right.
We just believe enough like that little 5-year-old boy. Did I told you about Ethan getting saved this morning? Ethan was only 5 years old and he called on Jesus to be his Savior. And his mom is like, I wonder if he understood enough. You know what I told her? I said, you know, I'm glad the Bible does not say that you need the understanding of a college theologian to go to heaven. All you need is the faith of a little child.
Right.
And Ethan's got that. Ethan's got that. And if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, I'd encourage you to do that. You trust him, and he'll take you to heaven someday when you die. You look at your preacher, you're not going to find any nail holes there. He's a good guy, but he didn't die for anybody's sin. Jesus did. He's the only one. And we invite people to come to church to hear the preacher preach, but we're really not inviting them to hear Brother Mast or see Brother Mast. We're inviting them to come hear about Jesus, because he's the one who can change a life. And he does change lives. He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's pretty neat how God does that for us, isn't it? Brother, do you go by Sarge? Is that the name you go by?
No.
What do you go by?
Here, Chris Turner.
What? Chris? All right. He handed me this tract on the way in tonight. Oh, this isn't the one you handed me. I carry this word of my Bible to give out to people. because we deal with an addictions program. And he comes up to me tonight, and he's going to hand me one of these tracts. I said, I already got one of those. And I pulled it out of my Bible. You wrote that? The Bible tract. That's a blessing. And this has been a blessing to some people in our church. Matter of fact, there's a vet I invited recently, and I put this in my Bible just for if he shows up, I'm going to hand this to him. And that's why it's sitting in my Bible. You're probably surprised I have one in my Bible when you're trying to hand me one. And that's been a blessing to one of the guys in our church that was in Special Forces, and he's a recovering addict. Praise the Lord for that. He's a new creature. Old Bo Rusk is his name. He lives in St. Charles, Illinois, and was in Special Forces doing black ops, and they were in a training exercise. He fell out of the helicopter 30 feet up, and he hit the ground. It damaged his back, and now he's permanent disability. And God has been healing him up. Reads through his Bible 8 or 9 times a year. Amen. Yeah, he reads his Bible. I mean, just he'll read 50, 60, 70 chapters a day. And just, you know, he's got a little time. And he just loves reading his Bible. And God's healing him up real good. Increased in favor with God. A lot of people, they're out of balance in this area. Listen, you could be here tonight, and you might be a very educated person. We got one guy, one of my group leaders for our RU program. The guy's got more degrees than a thermometer, even in spite of global warming, okay? He just got another one. He's got more. 75 years old, and he just got another diploma. I don't know what he does with them all. All right, but he's a very educated man. But education doesn't get us to heaven, does it?
That's right.
You could have all the degrees you want. You could be the best athlete in the room. Although I'm not seeing any. You could be the most religious person in the room. You could be the most famous person in the room. And you know what? If you don't have salvation, you know what you are? You're a flat tire. Because you can have all the other areas of your life. You got it down. I got this. I'm good. I'm fine. But if you don't have salvation, you're out of balance. You got one. And if you're out of balance in one area, that the whole tire's flat. You got it? The whole tire's flat. And you're laughing earlier, but now you're thinking, man, that might be me. I might have one area I'm off balance. And I might need to make some corrections and some changes here, okay? How's your wisdom? How's your stature, your physical growth, your mental growth, your physical growth, your spiritual growth? Are you working on your spirituality, on being a good, godly Christian? And then look at the fourth one, the last one, favor with man. It says that Jesus increased in wisdom. And again, that's this morning's theme was add to, add to, add to. See, Jesus is all about that, isn't he? You got your high school diploma. That ain't the end, is it? Hopefully you get some more goals in life, right? And this is just getting you going in the right direction. And it says Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature, favor with God and favor with man. And that's social growth. Social growth. And it's not being popular. We were having a discussion at dinner today. One of the guys took a stand at work, and I said, brother, you made a choice. You could either be popular or respected, and you chose to be respected. You can't be both in a secular workplace. And he made a good decision. It's talking about social growth. Listen carefully to this statement. Separated, but not isolated. Separated, but not isolated. Okay? Don't treat the whole world like you're a junior higher and they got cooties, you know. Oh, that's a boy. He's got cooties, you know. No, separated, but not isolated. Separated, but not saturated. Separated, but not saturated. Where, well, I want to win those people, so I'm going to go get this job in a bar. Or I'm going to go get a job as a lifeguard at the swimming pool because I want to reach these people. And, you know, I'm going to go to the public school where I can be the salt. And guess who ends up influencing who?
Come on.
Separated, but not saturated. Okay? And Jesus was in the world, but not of the world. Doggone, there he goes again, being a good example for us, right? It'll work every time. You just follow his footsteps. You're going to come out okay. You're going to come out okay. You know, one of the best role models for me growing up, when I was growing up, my older sister was 2 years older than me. Well, matter of fact, she still is. And when I was in high school, She was president of the youth group of our church. And she's just a good, godly girl. And sophomore in high school, back then we didn't do courtship. We did dating with Baptist churches, okay? It was just the way it was. It was the GRBC, which GRBC, also spelled D-E-A-D. And we went to this. My wife grew up there. We had our first date. She was 12. I was 13. I know, it's a little young, right? There was a Valentine banquet. And I went to her dad, and I said, can I sit with your... can I sit with your family? And I sat with their family at the Valentine banquet. So I call it our first date, all right? And she was 12, I was 13. And we grew up in the church together. My older sister, the leader of the youth group, she was a sophomore in high school, dating a guy who was a senior in high school, who was going to be an architect. And he had a truck. He had his own trucking business. He's only a senior in high school. I mean, he had a lot going on for him. He's a member of our church. He's born again. He was separated. Had money. And he's senior in high school dating my sister, my older sister, sophomore in high school. And he proposed to her. She's only a sophomore in high school. And he asked her to marry him. And she said, you know, not right away, of course. You know, I mean, you got a high school diploma and all like that. But she said, no. She said, I think God wants me to be a missionary. And she turned him down. I mean, just flat turned him down. They broke up. Now, she was a good example to me in a lot of areas. One, when we went out with the youth group, she didn't hang out with her boyfriend. She was with the girls. She was with the group. She always was very sociable and fun, and she didn't drop her girlfriends to just hang out with the one guy. You know what I mean? They weren't pairing off. That impressed me, and I was just a kid. And I was looking up to my older sister. She's the one who got me coming to church Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. I didn't always want to go. And she dragged me to church Wednesday night. Come on, Steve, you're going. And I didn't always want to go Sunday night, and she dragged me. Come on, you're going. That's why I have a drug problem today. She drugged me everywhere, okay? Drugged me to church. Drugged me to church all the time. But I'd go, and we were close. We were real tight. And she told this guy no, and you know what? He ended up, you know, going to school for architecture, and he had a, you know, trucking business, and he farmed out, and, you know, it was all good for him. You know what she did? She turned this guy down. She's only a sophomore in high school. She graduates high school. We were a public school. And she went to Bob Jones University. And she went there, and she never met Mr. Wright. She was there 4 years and got a college diploma. And then she did what all good college girls do when they finish 4 years and they get a diploma and they still haven't found Mr. Wright. They go on staff for a year, okay? That's what they do. And so she worked on, right, Jessica? That's what they do, don't they? And so she worked on staff at Bob Jones for a year. So now she's been at the largest Bible college in the world for 5 years, and she's only had a handful of dates, and she hasn't met Mr. Wright. And she was pretty sharp. And, you know, she had a lot going on for her, but she didn't meet them. So that summer, they went on a missions trip, and Lynn drove up to Canada. And they were on a missions trip, you know, singing and doing stuff in schools and stuff. And then she came back, and then one of those schools up there, they said, hey, we got a teaching position open, and we need someone who will teach English and French. And she was really good with French. She admired it in college. And she said, well, I could do that. I'd like to do that. And so that next year, she went up there to teach in their Christian school. That church up in North Halifax, Nova Scotia, do you know where that is? All right, you go to Detroit, you make a right, okay? When you get to the ocean, you make a left. You keep going. When you run out of land, okay, when you run out of land, you get on this bridge, and then you go over to this Nova Scotia. It's way up there. It's in Canada. It's far, okay, very far. We went to the wedding. She met Mr. Wright up there. They had a little Bible institute with only 5 students. She couldn't find Mr. Wright in the 5,000, but she gets up there to Halifax, North Halifax, Nova Scotia, and she meets Mr. Wright, just a few miles from Prince Edward Island, Mrs. Mast. I know. And she wants to go meet Anne at Green Gables. I don't know. Prince Edward Island, it's a potato farm. It's just a big potato farm. That's all it is up there. You know that, right? And up there, they don't tell Polack jokes. They tell Newfie jokes. Because the Newfoundlands are like the Polacks are in my neighborhood, okay? I'm Polish, so I can say that, okay? And they tell Newfie jokes up there. But listen, Lynn went all the way up there and she met Mr. Wright. She married him and three of her four boys went to Bible college and, you know, they're serving the Lord. Her husband is pastoring a church in Boston, Massachusetts today. What about that? She did all right, didn't she? She made some good decisions. And she's still 2 years older than me. She did good. And you know, when you make those good decisions, when God gets in on it, you know, that social thing, you know, kind of takes care of itself. If you're doing what the Lord wants you to do, He'll bring the right people around you. Right. You got to say no to the wrong people.
Right.
You know, God's not going to just strike them with lightning to get them out of your life. I mean, you got to learn to say no to the wrong
right.
people
right.
and the wrong places. But, boy,
yeah.
when God saved you, you know, He gave you a toolbox, okay? The Bible, the Holy Spirit, common sense, okay? Counsel, okay? He gave you a little toolbox. And He expects us to use it as well. Lily, my encouragement to you tonight is to grow in grace. Just keep growing in grace. Don't stop what you started. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And don't stop learning. Don't stop growing. And have that balance in your life. You know, if you have that balance in your life, you know, you're just going to roll further, okay? And you're going to roll better. Jesus said that. What's the devil all about? Destroying, tearing down, right? It says, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy, Jesus said in John 10:10. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. Now it's that abundant life. That's what you got to work on. And if you have balance in your life, you continue to grow in grace in these different areas, maybe even learn to play a little ice hockey, you'll do okay. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Mass, come close the service tonight.